Sou Stephen Kovats, 26 de abril. So Stephen, first of all, tell me about your background and your actual projects.
My background, I'm an architect. I studied architecture and urbanism, and I've been working for a long time with architectonic concepts related to media space and media culture. And I've been doing a lot of different projects around that, also the role of media in, let's say, political transformation processes. And right now I'm the director of the Transmediale, the Festival for Art and Digital Culture in Berlin.
And what are the main concepts in your work and your main references, aesthetics, philosophical, and any other you want to say?
Well, that's a very broad question. I mean, now as the director of this festival, I'm particularly interested in the power of art in shaping society. So I have a very, say, proactive view in the process of art as a way of changing our perspective of our environment, world which we live in, a very kind of general sense. And I'm interested in the relationship between technology and artistic expression, of course. So this middle ground in between those two things is what we're exploring at the Transmediale. This, of course, also has a political and a, let's say, social cultural aspect of it as well, which is very important. And my references are also relatively broad. I mean, I'm a Duchampian at heart, I mean, my background in architecture also places me within the world of people who are, let's say, strong multidisciplinary thinkers. So I've been always interested in the work of, for example, people like Moholy Nagy, who defy definition as one form of artistic expression or another. And as such, I don't also really believe, for example, in this term new media. I don't believe in the term new media, which is often sort of thrown around, because I'm interested in media in general as a societal and technological process, which we have had for a long time in a lot of different kinds of contexts. And
which relations do you see between your work and other fields of knowledge?
Oh well, we because the work that we're doing is such that it encompasses so many other different fields. One of the things that we do with the Transmediale is turn, let's say, this context of art inside out in order to reveal and have the discussions in and with a number of different fields. So one of the important elements of the festival is actually bringing together specialists from very different and diverse fields in order to discuss let's say more global issues around a certain kind of artistic practice, because, you know, this is, I think, the nature of let's say technology and digital culture in a large way. So we deal with cognitive sciences, we deal with political sciences, we deal with robotics, and there's a lot of influences coming together in that context.
Could you describe a little bit of your work process from the conception to the exhibition?
The Transmediale is not just an exhibition, so it's a very complex and very big event, of which the exhibition is one of the three main and major say foundations. So there's the live event, which is the exchanges between the artists and all these other scientists and important and interesting people that we want to pull together. So the live event, the exhibition, which has its own kind of structure and narrative to discuss the issues that we're looking at, and a publication. And each one of those three elements is different in content and structure and concept, but of course they all talk to one another. So those three together create the assemblage of the whole. But you can read the book without having been at the festival and understand what it is that we're talking about or what we're doing there. You can go to the conference and also have this image, but in a different way, and you can also visit the exhibition without having done any of the other things, and also have a very specific idea of what it is that we're trying to say. And the process of putting something like that together actually is a little bit like architecture. I mean, you start, of course, with a concept, which can be a very abstract kind of thing, which gets developed in also a relatively complex manner, which involves research, a lot of discussions, a lot of looking at work, and building further on a concept, and then of course you go into production, and then you've got your finished product, which is the festival. But of course that as a finished product is only there as the springboard for which you want people to dive in and discuss this theme. So it's really meant as a catalyst. So we spend all our time and all our effort over this 1 year period basically to construct something which is a starting point.
Yeah.
And very much not, let's say, a product.
Okay. And how do you see the relations between your work and the available technology, and how these relations take shape in your everyday life? I mean, creativity and technology, how each other influences one another.
Well, I would say the creativity exists beyond the realm of technology. I mean, it's technology itself is often a limiting factor for creativity. I mean, we see that, for example, in the way software is used often. We end up seeing sort of like the same kind of thing because a certain kind of software is there that then, you know, people play with or experiment with. Often, you know, the most creative works are the ones that take those technologies apart and build something else with them, or those who code their own work. But that's, of course, a different kind of, let's say, creative process than those who work with, let's say, the palette of available technologies. I mean, this is, of course, something which is constantly in flux and in change, and one of the important, you know, mechanisms that Transmediale is there for is to expose the way that artists either deal with the problems of those constraints, or how these things are exposed, taken apart, turned inside out, and so on.
And do you see relations between your work process structure and the social system you live, and which are they?
And the social system in which I live?
Yeah.
Well, actually,
very broad question again. But
well, I mean, of course, on a very simple level, you know, what we do with the Transmediale is a direct relationship and a direct reflection of the way that we live and we are influenced today. But of course, my social structure right now has primarily to do with kindergartens and and this kind of thing. So I'm interested really to look at how these social processes have a very global quality. It's interesting to see that actually when you go from Germany to China, to Japan, to India, to Nunavut, probably to Brazil and so on, you find very similar social codes, social types, even though the context and the cultural vocabulary can be completely different. In the case of, let's say, the far north of Canada, where I've done some work, you can be confronted with a culture where you feel that you're on like a completely different planet with the people that you're dealing with. I've never been in such, let's say, a foreign culture, even though it's my own country, than when I've been in the north, not even in China. And this has a lot to do with our understanding of the way in which we live within technological society, the mechanisms and the relationships that we have towards media, towards mobility through telecommunications and technology, is a whole other kind of scenario. And this has a strong impact on our social structures and our social development. For my work, it's important and it's interesting to try to identify what these mechanisms are in these different cultures and look at the relationships where we share certain kinds of traits and constraints vis-a-vis media, vis-a-vis our understanding of image, of manipulation, of media and communications and technologies, and also what these differences are. So it has much less to do with, let's say, my own personal local one than as really a very strong interest in looking at this as a global condition.
And what do you have to say about...
What are they doing spraying here all the time? I mean, this is... Every lecture is interrupted by these spray cans and spray can performances.
May I go to the next question?
Yeah, sorry.
What do you have to say about the center of the centers in general, I mean, of research, production, and exhibition of media art, since the organization to the sponsorship issue? I mean, I have noticed different cares when government provides money to artists in media art field, and when they are in relations between private companies. I'm interested in this difference too. Maybe if you can say something about it, and about the work process related to the space needed to realize it. So, I mean, the organization of this space is how they talk to the process, how process dialogue to space, I mean.
Well, yeah, again, I mean, that's a really complicated issue, and of course it's also something which is very, very different from country to country and even from city to city. I think usually, or it shouldn't be a question of whether the money's coming from private, let's say, corporate funding or from government sources. It's ultimately the same thing. It's more a question of whether the money, the interests behind the money are hands-off vis-a-vis the artistic production or experimentation. What kind of spaces are provided for experimentation and creative expression and freedom of thought, and if it's coming from a private source and that works well, then it's fine. If it's a commissioned art that has to fulfill a certain kind of a criteria or a function, then it can become problematic. But this also can happen if it's, you know, government funded program, which has to fulfill a certain kind of need or a niche that tends to be, you know, often more, again, restrictive or constrained. What I see that is sorely missing is the opportunities really to have these kinds of open spaces for creative exploration. I mean, we had that in Berlin for a while with Tesla, for example, the Tesla Lab for media art and culture. But politically, it was not felt that it was fulfilling. Whatever task it was supposed to be fulfilling, even though it was one of the rare opportunities for artists from around the world to come and create new work, being given very simple resources, space, some tools, and time. You know, just to be able to, do what you want to do and have a proper sort of a minimum level of technical support in order to be able to do things, and when those conditions are met, and there are a number of places that allow this to happen, then you can have some interesting things coming out of it. But it's sorely needed, and it often doesn't happen, for example, in the universities either. So it does need to be outside of those kinds of institutions. I mean, it does need to have sort of independence, or it needs an absolute independence of let's say, big institutional affiliations.
I'm closed now. And now maybe I can put these two answers together. Two questions together. I would like to know about how do you see the interactor's role in the interactive art and relations, if you see in the work you develop relations between space and narrative, and which are they? You can say about the percourse, not
the parkour.
The parkour of the people in the event in general. I don't know if it's not so related to what you were
talking about. Well, yeah, I mean, they're both important.
The works you have seen.
I mean, they're both important questions, and they're maybe not completely linked questions. I mean, the question of the role of the interactor in interactive art is, of course, a tricky one, because it's primarily a question of what space does the individual take within any kind of an artwork. And too often, so-called interactive art is taken as being reactive art. So you're presented with a situation, you do something, the artwork responds to it. This for me is not particularly interactive art per se, because I believe there needs to be a change in the nature of the artwork, or at least in the nature of the relationship between the perception of the person and the artwork. And this fits maybe a little bit to your question about the role of process in the creation of an artwork, because for me it is this notion of process which is key within the artistic work. You know, when I was working at V2 in Rotterdam, it was one of the nice things about working for that organization is that it calls itself Institute for Unstable Media, and this notion of the unstable media is a very important one, because what we are dealing with is a technological context in which art takes place, which in itself is impossible to snag, to capture, to grab is in constant change and flux, and does not have this kind of like static end product. And when we're confronted with this kind of work, and we have to bring it to a space or to a place, then of course we're confronted with a static context, a static environment, which is the place. And and the way of integrating these two kinds of things, of course, is one of those things that we I wouldn't say struggle with, but it's one of our major challenges. And it's certainly important for me, anyways, to establish that there is an architectonic narrative between the place and the artwork. It doesn't always work the way, you know, one thinks that it should, but I do think it's problematic to say, well, any artwork can just be put anywhere. I think there is a necessity to be aware of a certain kind of spatial configuration, because we, as visitors, as people, as interactors, are also aware of a certain kind of architectonic environment. So that becomes a part of any artwork de facto, has to be. I mean, there's no simple question to the answer. It's just to say that the space, its configuration, the materiality of it all have an integral role to play within the artwork itself, whether the artwork responds directly to that space or not.
Okay. Could you say something else about V2 and what kind of work you developed there and how the organization of their work there, how anything you could say more about it, because I think I would not have the opportunity to be there, and maybe you can help me.
Well, V2 is the only institute in the world that calls itself the Institute for the Unstable Media, and as such they have a very important role in defining what our technological condition is. It's been around for over 25 years, so as such it's one of the oldest centers for art and media technology, and it's at its core it's a very small organization, but its field is very broad. So everywhere from political aspects of media and doing conferences and that kind of thing, to a lab which develops software, new types of code, hardware, applications, interaction tools, and in between, I mean, there's a festival, there's residencies which are done for a lot of different types of artists, there's publications, so it's a very broad organization, but always looking at what is this being of the technological moment, and how to explore the boundaries and the edges of our technological context. And then my work there was also very broad. I did the last year I was there, when I had to count, what I did is like 17 different projects. So from exhibitions through conferences and curating exhibition for deaf and kind of stuff. So we're all over the place.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think, didn't you say something else that could contribute?
Okay. I think that was enough. But was it okay? I mean, is that
I think so.
Sort of useful?
Okay.
For you, I mean, I'm dealing with so many different things, that it's it's hard to pigeonhole into one thing.
Okay.